Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
All right, everybody, what's happening? We are back. Tyler here.
And this is Ethan.
This is Adrian.
And we are following up, actually. It's been a minute since we recorded, but it's awesome. We're going to be following up on some AI stuff. And I just realized I didn't have the mic. Didn't I do that last time?
You did.
I 100% did that. Yeah, I'm just so used to like not picking it up. So this sounds a little bit more clear.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I don't think we need to do that intro again, but I don't know. No, we're going to be talking about some, or expanding more on the Internet of Things. The good, the bad, the ugly, really.
Correct.
Okay, go into, well, before we do that.
Yeah, there's something we need to do.
I know. Yeah. See, it's been a minute. What are we sipping on?
But you're sipping on some Eagle Rare 10-year single barrel.
Mm. Is this the first time we've had Eagle Rare
on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the first. This is already cracked.
Yeah.
It's already ready to go.
I've had it many of times.
And is this our control burn?
I believe so.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay. So who makes Eagle Rare?
Buffalo Trace.
Oh, that's right. This is their high-end spinoff.
Oh, yeah.
Or I guess you would say, right? Their single barrel.
Mash bill number one, which for the bourbon geeks out there, there's like three main mash bills for the bourbon side.
Mm.
You also have rye, but...
Mm.
Good Lord.
Yeah. That's good.
Buffalo Trace regular, same mash bill.
Yeah.
E.H. Taylor, same mash bill.
What's E.H. Taylor? I feel like I should know
Stag
that.
Stag Junior.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's their mash bill number one is a low rye. Mash bill number two is a high rye, and then they have a wheated and then a rye mash bill.
Aged 10 years. It's been sitting in there for 10 years. Oh, man. I remember the first time I had this. I was like, goodness gracious, this is smooth. I think I was coming off of something super harsh, but I don't know. I'm sure it'll get better.
This is my first time trying this.
Is it really?
It is.
It's now, great. Do you prefer it with ice or without?
Well, I mean, any way you prefer, it's the right way. You know,
are you a politician?
Yeah,
that was a great answer.
Training, no. Personally, though, I mean, it really depends on the day. Like, right now, it's cold. It's raining outside, so like straight.
No ice.
Yeah, no ice.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've been having a lot of LaCroix in my whiskeys lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, but fortunately, because it's so refreshing.
That spritzer.
It might be a spritzer. Yeah, and then I chase it back with a little Bud Light.
There you go.
Hey, it's topical.
I just come up singing and it's awesome.
Well, I was joking with Ed before we came up here about, you know, possible things to drink on the show, and we were thinking about bringing some Howler, some Screwball, and some either sparkling water or grape LaCroix.
No way.
Yeah, because if you do that, you got your peanut butter, your banana, and then with grape, it's like a peanut butter jelly.
Sounds like it should not taste good.
You know, a peanut butter and jelly old fashioned, man.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've had one of those.
Got a little raspberry syrup and then a Screwball.
I have had Screwball. We usually have it up here, and I do not like it anymore. It's just for some reason I had it one time and it just turned. It was like it took a left turn and out. I'd never wanted in my life.
Gotcha. Yep.
I suppose if it's mixed with something, it could be good. Maybe. Yeah, but by itself, just sipping, there's no way.
Yeah, for me, like the old college thing is Malibu, because it was always at a party. There's always that one person, we brought some Malibu, guys. I'm like,
What's wrong with you?
Do some shots.
Yeah, it's so you get like super sugar-faced the next day, and it's, oh my gosh, it hurts so bad.
The only negative experience like that I've had is, unfortunately, with vodka. It takes a bit for me to want to drink vodka nowadays. I had an experience with screwdrivers. We were playing blackjack, and you know, if you lost a hand, you took a drink of your screwdriver.
So you're staring at that Tito's like it owes you money.
Well, I was the dealer, so I took drinks whenever anyone else.
Yeah,
so I was the first to go down that night.
You didn't deal that long.
No.
And Ed needs to come out. We haven't had him on for a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
He's busy.
Oh yeah, he's very important.
Very important.
Yeah.
Doing very important things.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. So Internet of Things, as we sip our Eagle Rare. It's awesome. Cheers, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Boom, boom, boom to another show.
Air cheers.
This is just the control burn, so we can have more. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, Internet of Things. It is May 2023 as we record this. Give us not an update, is it, because it's always been there, but like, it's such a thing. We're coupling it with AI. I mean, that's a big old thing coming on. Yeah. So from your IT professional like Internet of Things. Let's expand. Let's go deeper on that.
Yeah, man, love to. It really is topical. We were chatting before this and actually really, really considering changing the schedule for today and actually talking about AI instead, just because of everything going on in the world with ChatGPT and the new Office 365 announcements and things like that. But we're going to be doing that probably in the next episode. We'll touch on it now.
I really want to ask now because I honestly don't know what that Microsoft thing is. So, but I'm gonna hold it.
We'll touch on it a little bit now, but largely I want to stick with our previously scheduled programming for Internet of Things because it is still applicable, and both of them are very topical and scary in the wrong light and interesting in the right one.
Right. Well, let's start off with interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Internet of Things. We're getting more and more connected. Technology is moving faster and faster. That's kind of the. I picked up a quote that I've absolutely clung to and loved, is that the thing that makes all of this scary in a sense is that the technology is moving faster than we can politically or ethically. So
yeah,
that's why there's so much turmoil and questions and fear about it, is we just don't know how to handle what's coming out because it's moving too quickly.
Feels very COVID-y. Here's what I mean by that. That happens so fast with try this, it'll help you that, we don't know, just do it and whatever.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, and I feel the same way with AI, so I'm going to lump it in because when I hear of Internet of Things, it's you are telling that inanimate device to do something, control, talk to you, tell you what's in the fridge, right? So there's a certain amount of that. It feels like we have not had a chance, let alone 6 years or 6 months, to go and say, what's the downward, who can access this? Who can hack it? Who can get in there?
Yeah, those are the big questions. Like, when something's so intertwined and you rely on it so much and they're all speaking to each other.
Yeah.
Like, if one thing were to be compromised, is everything else, you know, piggyback off of that?
Right. It would make sense.
It's like a daisy chain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And real quick for the 101, the Internet of Things, for anyone listening who isn't, you know, aware, is just the idea that you have a lot of smart devices all working together on a single network, working together. So it's everything ranging from your, you know, servers, computers, desktops, laptops, everything like that, all the way down to your smart toaster that is, you know, you can schedule your toast in the mornings and you can, you know, do everything like that. Your smart thermostats, your smart gates, your smart doors,
your fridges,
all the little things that not only are they smart, but they're specifically working together. That's the big distinction, is it's not just smart devices, but it's an internet of physical objects. It is a network of physical devices that are all working together.
Would an Apple Watch and an iPhone be considered Internet of Things?
Sure.
Because they work together?
Oh, yeah.
It's
okay.
Yeah. And
that's kind of a stupid question. Well, but
Though, I mean, you're running stuff off the app service, communicating probably via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi with your iPad or iPhone.
So what is the inherent danger of this if it makes your life better and talks and say, hey, toaster, toast me a bagel at 3 and it comes out perfect?
The difficulty is because they're all connected, there's the cybersecurity risk that if your toaster gets hacked, then they potentially have access to your bank account that's on your computer, you know?
Because it's not, so is there an encryption issue or how, I mean, why?
Well, that's something we can talk about a little bit. There are ways to set it up where it is safe and but
typically that's the issue.
Well, that is, you know, underselling it a little bit, undercutting it a little bit. That is the issue, is that there's danger in connections. Every single connection that you have is a potential vulnerability. And so if you're not careful with these, like if I think we said, you know, last month, the middle-aged white guy who's like, hey, I can get a smart toaster from China and plugs it in, you know, has no clue that he just put a vulnerability there, even outside of the commercial.
Yeah.
If he does banking on his computer, congratulations, that bootleg toaster company now has banking information.
Dude, that is crazy.
Yeah. And everything has to, like, cameras, like, even like privacy.
Yeah. You
know? Maybe there's someone over in like China, like through your refrigerator, watching what you're doing, you know, what you're talking about. What are you buying?
There's no way of all the fridges. So Samsung or LG rolls out 1,000 of these.
Right.
And that component's built in China. So there'll be one person or an office full of people that they're literally watching to see what podunk person does in Northern California, Kansas, Montana, and Florida.
Well, part of the difficulty is also that even if it's not designed for it, even if Samsung or LG or a highly reputable company comes out with these and puts them out,
yeah,
if there's a vulnerability found, if a bad actor finds that, hey, we can hack into this particular component and get access to the entire fridge in this case, like, oh, big whoop. But now they have access to hundreds of thousands of fridges across the United States, and they have a backdoor in. And maybe next month they figure out, hey, we can now jump from the fridge to the toaster or from the fridge to the thermostat. And eventually there might be ways into the more private things. Yeah. You're now in a commercial bank's computer system. You know, it's things like that.
Well, if you can get into Wi-Fi, then why couldn't you get into all that
there,
other stuff?
There are security steps. There's compartmentalization. And if it's done correctly, things like firewalls and things like that are there to protect. But every time you add a new device, there's, again, potential vulnerability, especially when they're new, they're untested. It's interesting. It's the brink of technology. Everyone wants it. Corners get cut, people overlook things, and cybersecurity is largely driven by the failures.
Yeah. What were we going to say?
Well, no, I mean, in theory, it sounds great.
Yeah,
it, totally. It makes life super easy.
It's awesome.
It's like Star Trek, you know, everything kind of just happens. But
It is. Yeah. Everything, that's exactly it.
Yeah, you can have a fully automated and functioning household, company, corporation, where everything just works because it's been set up to do that way.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And the possibilities, the future moving forward is incredible if it's safe.
So how, going back a little history lesson, how long has this been out?
That's debatable. The term was coined, I don't think it was too long ago. It was within the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that term was coined, but the idea of connection has been around for a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
The Bluetooth capabilities, things like that, the just connecting over Wi-Fi, connecting in that way.
Mm-hmm. But how everything ties together.
Yeah, I think more recently, like Amazon is probably what people think about with Alexa. Like Alexa, turn the lights on, medium brightness.
Oh, is that considered AI or is that considered Internet of Things?
That's Internet of Things.
Internet of Things, because it's doing what you're, it doesn't really think, it just does what you're basically commanding.
The command.
Yeah.
But then it is very easy at that point to say, well, what if we put machine learning into this? Mm-hmm. What if instead of you going into the panel and putting in your schedule, what if it just watched you and knew your schedule? So when you woke up, your bacon and your toast was ready for you because it knew when you would wake up. Things like that, you know?
Dude, can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cool. It sounds
creepy AF.
Yeah, it sounds fucking creepy, but
there's really no cool. way.
Yeah.
Or like, here's kind of an offset scenario, but let's say that an AI or like something decides, oh, you know what? You mentioned via conversation and we saw you and we heard you say in a device that you wanted to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to lock the refrigerator. So if you don't eat, you don't consume calories. So that means you'll lose weight.
So we're here to help you, Mr. Campbell.
Yeah.
Well, just, let me in.
You know, so where's the end? It could apply to just about anything.
Golly, that's scary.
And again, it is that whenever we go into this, there's that unknown human fear factor to it where it's like, well, what if they do this?
What if Hal shows up?
Right. I'm sorry. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I feel more and more we're becoming more like lawyers in our, because it's more like, well, it depends. There's no.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
And again, it's the ethical politics, but it's also just the information. We're at a point where it could hop up any of 500 different directions with each technological improvement. So it's so hard to
predict.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's crazy is like whatever company A is hanging around trying to figure out what to do with toasters and fridges, company B's going, you know what? Garage doors. I want to know. Yeah. I want to have it heated. You know, my garage door will have radiant heat back because I'm in Minnesota and it knows that.
And within a capitalist driven world economy, when it comes to technology like that, it becomes very easy to see the dollar signs that are at the front of it and skip a lot of the steps that should be taken to make sure that things are done right.
Which country does this the most? Has this, I guess not does this, has Internet of Things capability for building, monitor, surveillance?
It's probably Asian countries, if I had to guess.
It's the front runners in tech that we normally see. There's a lot of development that is happening in America, but obviously you're, Japan, Korea, China have to various degrees different leads in certain ways of technology. Mm-hmm. Just historically accurate. We're good in some things, they're good in others. Some companies will always come out on top.
I'm just reading some stuff on security of the Internet of Things and what you would do. And it's very...
Oh, it's complicated.
Yeah. So they don't use AI in it just yet, right?
It just because it's Internet of Things doesn't mean that it has associated AI.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the square and rectangle thing, right? Where not all Internet of Things structures are AI driven.
Yeah,
but they can be, you know.
So when you're talking with clients, well, let me back up a little bit. So in a 6-month period, how many of clients are coming saying, I need this, or I'm looking for this kind of a solution?
We've had 2 or 3 come to us with ideas for, hey, this AI or hey, this smart device sort of thing seems really cool.
Yeah.
What can we do with it? Luckily from a commercial or enterprise position that these guys have come to us with, the items that they're coming to us with are actually, you know, they're smart cameras or things mm-hmm. like that, that are actually very beneficial and are made to be built within a security area. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't gotten the weird toaster request yet or anything like that.
I mean, I would think the biggest one I think of right off the top, is, especially in like a large business, say a large building, would be temperature control, your environment.
Yeah.
Like that would be something I would think, right?
Yeah. Smart thermostats are definitely a thing. And just put it out there, our first step, if people need something and we can't confirm its security, is just put it on a different network. Have compartmentalization. If you have stuff that needs to be secure, have it on one lane, have it in one lane, and have everything that you can't verify secure on the other until you can get it.
Make sure they're all good to go, so you don't have two.
Yeah, that's the quote quick and easy way to do it. If you absolutely need to integrate, but you can't,
is that easy to do? Secure. Set up 2 systems? Networks?
It has to be done intentionally. It isn't necessarily easy, but it also isn't the trickiest thing in the world.
Got it.
Probably easier for businesses than it is consumer.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would have, all right, all my computers set up to Wi-Fi 1, 2, 3, and then my toaster, fridge, and climate is Wi-Fi 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's very similar as when you go into a dentist office and they mm-hmm. have a dentist office Wi-Fi and dentist office patient Wi-Fi.
Gotcha. Guest.
Yep.
You would say guest.
Yeah.
Who, like, when I'm thinking internet, who makes all these?
Everyone nowadays.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So there's not like a major brand that makes all this?
No, the Internet of Things is an idea. It's a strategy when it comes to IT.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily a design or a type of technology. It's more the idea, the framework, the path moving forward is, hey, we're making it Internet of Things. We're not making an Internet of Things.
So this was the big thing for a while, and I gotta be honest, I feel that it's not died, but it's taken a backseat in notoriety mm-hmm. and everything to AI, ChatGPT and all that other stuff.
What do you think? I think the main reason for that isn't because it's died in its use. It's died in the fact that it's no longer cutting edge. It's more known now. There's a lot of folks who just know that you can do this. It's no longer like that. Wow, this is amazing. How does this work? And so now as more technology comes out to support it, those technologies are the ones that are taking center stage. While the Internet of Things is still growing in proportion, scale, power, everything like that, it's growing in those ways because of the tools that are now being developed that are getting the limelight.
I almost feel like the Internet of Things is like a design or like the groundwork or the physical items that you use with the AI, as in this case.
Gotcha.
Making decisions or, you know.
And that's
a good distinction. I don't think I've ever thought of that, because I think everything is based on not tech, but like internet, right? So the internet, but it's hard physical things. I mean, I felt like a baller when I first got like cameras on my house, you know, because usually cameras were reserved on a house for rich and famous and all those kind of things. Because you'd have, you know, the freaking, what was the Scarface?
Yeah.
Bro had cameras everywhere because people were coming to kill him, right? But now you cannot go down a street, and I would venture to say almost America, that there is not a camera.
What is that? The Ring doorbells?
Yeah, Ring doorbells, Arlo. I mean, and how those. So that would be considered internet. If that's a hard physical household device that is on your neck or that is connected, right?
Yeah. As long as it's, again, the distinction being a network of physical items working together mm-hmm. and not just smart items. So totally. So if you have a smart doorbell and smart cameras and a smart thermostat,
Ring, turn on my camera,
and a smart garage door, if you have all those working together, then you have a small internet of things that are working together. If you're like, hey, I got a Ring doorbell that's on my Wi-Fi, that's, you know, not exactly it, because it's working and it's smart and it can do those capabilities, but it's not collaborating with other devices.
So you guys then, as you know, on the IT side, if they, you know, client wanted to set that up for his business, your stance, because I'm trying to see where you stand, right? I'm not gonna put words in your mouth, but I will. Is it's a good thing if used correctly?
Yes.
It is a bad thing if they're not on separate networks to basically keep things in their own lane.
You equated it to COVID earlier.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do my little equating to Jurassic Park.
Mm.
In that it is super cool. You know, there's a lot of money in it. People are going to be amazed by what it can do.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong, it can be catastrophic.
I don't think I've ever heard that analogy. I would apply that to AI.
Yeah.
To right now, especially with ChatGPT and everything, 100%.
Yeah.
The not to go into, because we'll talk about it later, but seeing what it can do on the application is awesome. When I see Boston Robotics and think of those two together, that's when I get the most spooked.
Right. It's that thought process of, we've been so convinced or so concerned with, if we can do it, we never stop to think if we should.
Right. Right.
Which, you know, we'll talk about it more next episode with the Google lead developer for AI stepping down and retiring early because of everything going on. There's people who are really in the know and are much more intelligent than any of us sitting here that are still spooked.
What really scares me is where the government comes in with the embraced AI.
Wouldn't they have to?
I'm almost thinking that this could 1984 like
vibes
yeah. in terms of like yeah. control.
I mean, I think they have to, right? And I think we all have to. And it's not because we have to progress ourselves as a society. I think so on the Western, on the United States, I think we have to because other countries are doing it. And if we don't press the court, right? Full court press, then they're just going to go faster. So it's almost, we have to combat it.
This is also the sort of place where it sucks that everything moves so slowly within our systems. Because even just within compliancy and stuff like that, there are some big level compliance, I believe even the federal compliance levels for IT, that still don't allow for biometric sign-ins and don't have that in their compliance labels.
Right.
Even though it is more secure and everything, because they just haven't added it, because they haven't caught up to that technology. It's not that it's not good or not allowed.
Yeah.
They just haven't gotten there. And that's years old.
Yeah.
And now we're at the cutting edge and all these dangers and all these potential bad things are coming out, and we're still years from them even being acknowledged in that way.
Jeez.
which is terrible and terrifying, which is where the commercial level of companies banning it and saying we need to do something about this is
pump the brakes.
Yeah,
right. Then it's bad. Let's just let things.
I mean, unfortunately, we live in the United States of America.
Yeah,
now we have to deal with these things. Things sometimes are getting in the way, called rights and.
But
other countries don't necessarily have to deal with the same thing.
It's definitely something that should catch your eye when a capitalist-driven societies, companies and corporations are halting profits and saying, wait a second.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, if you can read the tea leaves and between the lines, that's something you might want
to. When high-end capitalists are getting ethic checks, you need to take another look at
it. Yeah, that's a great point. That is. I almost feel like we should talk about it.
Yeah,
well. I mean, we're we're a glass and a half in. Let's dive into it a little bit with the expectation we'll have more next time.
100%. Okay, so let's wrap up Internet of Things. Yeah. I think it's a good topic. Do it. Get it. Just
be safe.
Put it on a Tuesday. Yeah. But be safe about it, though, as you guys, right? And I would say call and you can walk someone through how to set up that second or third network, how to keep things separate, how to tie it all in correctly so you're not just like connect to Wi-Fi. What's your Wi-Fi password? Okay, great, you're all set up.
And understand if you're buying a $30 smart toaster.
I honestly don't know why you would need that. You need freaking fire and some rocks in a grate and you could just get toast. Well, I don't know how to say it. I don't think we're all going to go back into the Stone Age, but like there's a lot of people that are going, screw this, I'm going analog. I'm getting yeah. off of everything. And I'm just gonna check out. Not check out of life. Almost they're checking back into life. They're checking out of that digital side. They don't need all this stuff. Right. They can open the fridge and know you're low on milk. Not get a freaking text message from it and going, you're low on milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I guess it just depends on where you place value on that.
I just am really curious. I don't, and this is, you know, personal opinion of Ethan. I don't think we will recognize the world 15 years from now.
Oh, dude.
I mean, Justin, if you think of the 1985 to 2005, that 20-year span of going from, yeah, computers were around, they were a powerful place for using them, to having the most, what would have been the most powerful device in the world in your pocket of every single person in the entire world.
Yep.
Just that jump is astronomical, but it's our day-to-day now.
Yeah.
And so if you jump 15 years in the future, when today you are having AIs rewriting their own code better, you're having AIs writing research papers that are, you know, passing and not being noticed that it was written. All these things are happening
yeah.
right now when it's months old.
Yeah, 100%. I need, well, I mean, months as far as what getting out. I think AI right. has been around for 3 years. Well, but like what
these,
you said.
These particular ones.
Yes, yeah. And Internet of Things, though, is, you said 10. In the grand scheme of things, that's a freaking baby and it's already out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So
there's a great book. It's called The Shallows. I completely forget who wrote it. But it talks about how the internet, the use of in our everyday life, is 100% rewriting our human brains, right? So we've got synapses that fire how we think, how we process everything.
Yeah.
And the neuroplasticity, however long that is because you struggle. You have to think. There's cognitive, like you got to go and figure shit out.
Problem solving has definitely gone down.
Oh my gosh. Well.
Thanks, Google.
But your problem solving time, you can solve a problem, but you don't have to struggle through it. And so your brain yeah. does not need to process. It's given. So it's rewiring how we think and who we are. And I mean, look at, if you were to leave your phone here at this studio and you leave and in 2 hours, you realize you can't find it and you can't get a hold of me to go, can I come get it? Is it there? You will literally have a panic attack. You'll have there are people that you'll feel it.
Yeah.
Why would you have that guttural, visceral reaction, that human reaction to not having a phone?
Right.
That's a brain rewrite. Straight up. That's rewriting code, just like you rewrite code on a computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. Well, anyways, let's end on there because we're going to switch over and talk a little bit of AI while we're here.
Sure.
Peace, guys. Thank you for hanging, everybody. See ya.